Welcome, welcome. As Rebecca shared a few minutes ago, we are so glad that you're here. We've been praying for you. We've been asking the Lord to do something in your life today that would change you forever in a good way, right? And so we're so glad to have you here. I love what Rebecca said. Welcome home. Whether you've been here a long time, you haven't been here in a long time, you've never been here before, welcome home. We're so glad that you're here today. And today, my prayer is that even in some small way, as we come to the Bible, as we come to God's Word, that God would speak to you in a way that would change you, would give you hope, would give you something to help you through this season of your life. And today really is a day of celebration. That's why we celebrate. That's why we have the bounce house and we have all the fun festivities that we do, because it's a day of celebration. It's a day that we remember the beautiful, messy, amazing story of what Jesus Christ did as he came to the earth and lived a sinless and perfect life and died on the cross in my place and in your place for our sins. And he rose on that first Easter morning, and in so doing, defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now, this morning, our kids sang that song, and I love that song. By the way, you're probably going to have that song stuck in your head for the next couple weeks. Just tell you, I've had it stuck in my head for weeks and weeks. Every time I get it out, they sing it again, and it comes back. Like, oh. But it's a good reminder, right? 1, 2, 3. Jesus is alive. He died for you and me. Come on, everybody rose on day 3, right? There you go. Just planting the seed back in your head. You're welcome. But that's the truth, right? That's the truth this morning. It's the truth that we celebrate, that God so loved you and me that he came, that he died in my place and in yours so that we could spend eternity in heaven with God. But more than that, this morning what I want to talk about is the hope that God gives us here and now. Because it's something really important that we have the hope of eternal life someday, but the call of Jesus is much more than that. It's much more than, as some people call it, fire insurance, right? Right? It's just, you know, the fires of hell. It's more than just fire insurance. Putting our hope and trust in Jesus is more than that. See, not only does God want to have a relationship with us, not only does he want us to spend eternity with him, but God wants to give us hope. He wants to transform our today. He wants to give us a peace now, a transforming power and grace now. And that's a beautiful thing. See, that's the good news of Easter, that God wants to do that same work in each and every one of us. He wants to do that in you. In fact, turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to do a work in you. No, you didn't sound that convinced. But God, 1, 2, 3. All right, yeah, I should have done a song. What am I thinking? But this morning, God wants to build us, raise us to life, and wants to remind us of that life. 1 Peter 1:3-4 says this. The Bible says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we've been born again, because God raised Jesus from the dead. So now we live with great expectation. We have a great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that's kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I don't know about you, but this morning, I believe that's a message that I need to hear. There's a message that I need to remind myself of, that I have been born again and raised from the dead, and I have a great expectation. I've got this hope that will sustain me. No matter what happens in my week, no matter how many flat tires I get or things that go wrong in my life, I have a hope that will sustain me. And God is so merciful to us. And this Easter, I want to remind you of the grace of God for a few minutes. For some of you, today, I believe, is the day that, just as that scripture just said, you're going to be born again. It'll be a day of beginnings for you. It'll be a day that God does a new work of transformation in your heart. As you put your hope or trust in him, or perhaps you come back home as you've wandered away for a long season. But for many of us, today will be just a reminder, a simple reminder of this invitation that Jesus gives to each and every one of us. And his invitation is for all of us. And if you're walking with Jesus, or you've never uttered his name, or you've never been in church before, his invitation is the same. It's these two words, follow me. Would you say those words with me? Ready? Go. Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. Those are his invitation. And Jesus invites us to experience an abundant sort of life, to follow him, to walk with him, to live in relationship with him each and every day of our lives. And it's a beautiful thing, but because God wants us to not only live, but he wants us to have a purpose for living. He wants us to find meaning in what we do in our lives. And Jesus invites us to experience that sort of life. Now, How many of you guys know that there's moments in life that are bigger than others, right? There's days that happen and you'd say, man, I'm glad that day is over. Then there's days that happen that you say, I got to write this day down on the calendar, right? This is a big day for me. This is a moment where something's happened. I've gone from one level to the next, or there's been a great milestone that I've accomplished. For some of us that are married, it's the day that we were engaged, right? There's a story that goes along with that. We remember where we were and what we were wearing. For some of you ladies, you can remember that detail. I don't remember what I was wearing, but you remember where you were and where you went out to eat and what was said and how it happened. We remember those details. For some of us, it's the day that something's happened where maybe we got the news that our loved one is cancer-free, or that their sickness is gone, and that we don't have to live in fear and constant worry about test results every single day. Or perhaps those days can be just days that we have good news. We hear good news at work. I just got the promotion I've been waiting for. I just got good news from a loved one, man, that the baby was just born. The grandson or the granddaughter or the child was born. And there's moments in our lives where they're defining moments. Those moments where we say, I got to write that down. Some of you have a Bible and on the front of it, you'll write it down, or you've got some sort of family ledger, you'll write those things down. But many of these things, these moments we see coming, right? If you're dating someone and you're dating for real, right? Then you know that, man, I can see there's an engagement possibly coming. If she's pregnant, you know there's a baby that's going to be coming. I'm working hard at work. I can see hopefully there will be this day coming. But sometimes those moments catch us by surprise, don't they? And we love to hear a story of people getting caught by surprise. But those are moments that happen. And during the earthly ministry of Jesus, he had this sort of supernatural effect everywhere he went. People would have these sort of life-changing moments. And as he encountered people, as he had conversations with people, their lives changed. And people discovered this truth, that an encounter with Jesus can change your life forever. If you're taking notes, that's the first big fill in the blank. An encounter with Jesus can change your life forever. And today my prayer for you is that today you would encounter Jesus. As we are singing songs and as we conclude with singing, as we open up the Bible, as we just hang out as a church, my prayer is that you'd encounter Jesus and it would change your life forever. That it would be like a catalytic moment in your life. And here's the reason why. Because I believe Jesus calls to each and every one of us. And it's up to us what we do when he calls to us. Do we respond? Do we ignore? Do we send him to voicemail, right? You guys know what that's like? Oh, it's calling again. I'm just sending a voicemail. Do we listen? Do we answer the call? And the question is not, will Jesus call? Because I believe Jesus is calling to each and every one of us today. The question is, will we answer? Will we respond to his invitation? And my prayer today for you is that you would answer his call. Now, for the next few minutes, I want to look at a story of a man named Simon Peter. He was called Simon by some and Peter by others. And today, we're going to look at that day in his life. A day where everything before it and everything after it was changed and marked by this encounter he had with Jesus. Because this man, he kind of had he was going through his everyday life. He got to work and went through his routine. You guys have those kind of routines? You kind of go through your routine and he had breakfast and he went to work and he had his thing and things happened in his day. And like many of us have from time to time, he wasn't having a real good day at work. You ever have a bad day at work? Come on. We're going to have a pity party together. You have a bad day at work? That's what Simon Peter, who's out having a good day. He did everything he was supposed to do. He did all of his labor, but he was a fisherman and he caught no fish. Kind of a bad day. And after work, he's kind of licking his wounds and probably imagining what he's going to do when he gets home. And that's when he meets Jesus. That's when he encounters Jesus. And after a long, frustrating night, he meets Jesus. And this is the encounter with Jesus that changes his life forever. See, he had tried all night long in his own effort to do something that it was his profession. He was good at it, right? He was a fisherman, but he failed. And Jesus invites him to dream again. Last weekend, I talked all about this idea of how Jesus invites us to dream again when things aren't going the way we hope or expect. But Jesus does more than inviting Simon Peter to dream again. He invites him to follow him. And this is the important moment in Simon Peter's life when he is invited to follow Jesus. And I believe the same message is true today. I believe that today Jesus wants to invite us to follow him. Just as Rebecca said in the beginning, I don't care if you heard it one time or 1,000 times. His invitation is the same. Follow me. Whether you've walked with Jesus for 0 minutes or you've been walking with Jesus, you know, since he's been walking on earth, right, a long time. Either way, his invitation is the same. So Luke 5, 4 through 7 says this. It outlines what happens. And Luke 5, 4 says, "And when Jesus had finished speaking," there was a big crowd that was gathered. "He said to Simon Peter, he said, 'Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' And Simon answered him, he said, 'Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they filled the both boats so that they began to sink." Now, if you joined us last week, again, we looked at this miracle and how Jesus invites us to experience his power, how he wants to demonstrate. But our job is simple. Our job is simply just to say yes to Jesus' invitation. Say, "Jesus, I'm willing to get in the boat. I'm willing to go where you tell me to go, and I'm willing to put down the nets when you say to put down the nets," so to speak, right? Most of us aren't fishermen, but you get the metaphor. We're willing to get in the boat and to go when he says to go. Our response is simple. See, Simon Peter was at the right place at the right time, wasn't he? I mean, he'd had a bad day at work, but he's just sitting there by the seashore, and all along comes Jesus. And his life has changed forever. The whole course and trajectory of his life is altered forever as a result of this encounter with Jesus. And some might say it's just a chance encounter, but we know better than that. We know this was a divine appointment, Jesus was there to meet with Simon Peter. And I just want to say to you this morning that you're in the right place at the right time as well. So a lot of times we think, man, I missed it. Maybe I didn't have my opportunity. But I just want to say to you today that you are in the right place, that the God of heaven is here to speak to you, to meet with you today, to remind you of this story, that though your life might not change as radically as Simon Peter, though you may not be called to be an apostle, maybe you will, I don't know. But no, you might not be called to that sort of thing. God wants to encounter you here and change your life here just as well. That's the resurrection power of God, the ability to take those things that are broken and those things that are dead in our lives and dormant in our lives and to bring them to life. Those dreams that we didn't even imagine could come alive in us. God wants to bring those things alive. And it takes a step of faith to go out into the deep places with God. It takes another step to let down our nets. It takes steps of faith along that way to follow him. And Jesus invites each one of us into the deep waters, just outside of our comfort zones. And when we find ourselves in those places where Jesus is beckoning for us to go, and we set out our nets and we do the things he calls us to do, that's when we get to experience the power of God at work. That's when we get to see and feel the God who wants to fill up our boats in unexpected ways. See, but we've got to be available to Jesus' invitation, right? Simon said yes, but he could have said no, right? You ever have a long day at work? Do you want to say yes to anybody's requests of you, right? You get home and there's kids or there's spouses like, "Hey, can you do this? Can I write it?" And I'm like, no. That's me. Maybe I'm just confessing my sins, but no, I don't. I want to sit down, right? I don't want to go do anything. But Simon, at the end of his day, when he's tired and he's probably a little grumpy, maybe, right? He's a fisherman. He's worked hard. He could have said no, but he said yes. And he got into the boat. And he set out into the deep. And he put down his nets. He did what Jesus here said to do. And some of you are here and maybe you came empty. Maybe you're a little tired. Maybe metaphorically, it's been a long day, right? It's been a long couple of days. It's been a long many days. And you've had a long season, a long stretch. And I want to just present to you today this idea, this truth, that God is still in the miracle-working business. That he's still working miracles in our day. That he still does those things now. And God wants us to set out into those deep places that we can experience his miracle-working power, those things that would be impossible by any other means. So that's kind of a recap of the first part. And next we get to see how Simon responds. Let's pick it up. If you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 8, continues. "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" See, Simon Peter knew, man, he wasn't good enough to see a miracle of God as he had. "For he and all who were with them, they were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And So also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid, for from now on you'll be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, just imagine what that encounter would have felt like to them. Having a long day and you're stressed out and you're tired and you're anxious and I didn't do well today at work. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes along and Jesus invites you to do something that doesn't sound really like it makes a lot of sense logically. And you say, I'm going to trust you, Jesus, because you sound like you kind of know what you're talking about. And you step out in faith and you see a miracle of God. And that's exactly what happened in their life. It's almost as if, man, all night they're fishing and it's like the lake is empty of fish. All the fish are like, I don't know, they're on vacation or something, right? And then just at the right time, just at the specific spot that Jesus says, all of a sudden that's where all the fish are hanging out. It's like Club Med for fish. I don't know. They're all just hanging out there. There they are. It's almost like he knew, right? I mean, it's almost like he knew. It's like God knew what was going to happen. It's crazy. But, you know, as a church, we pray all the time. You know, that's one of the things that we believe in, the power of prayer. We believe that God is the God of the supernatural, and that's why we love to pray. And we love to pray for needs. And one of my favorite is just hearing some of the requests that come from the little ones that you saw gathered up here. They're hearing from all of our kids' church teachers. They're like, they hear the prayer requests of us adults, and they're like, man, these guys, they got no faith. These kids, man, they're praying for their cuts. They're like, I got a cut. I want Jesus to heal me. They're praying for their dogs. They're praying for, you know, their cuts and their cancer friends as if they're the same request. They don't see any size. And what happens? They see the power of God at work. We see God heal sicknesses. We see God move. And it's amazing. In fact, just this Friday, we went to the cross at Mount McCoy to just pray over our city and pray over our land. I loved it because all these adults are praying. And I look over and one of our New Heart kids looks at me and says, hey, Pastor, can I pray? I'm like, yes. And he prays this audacious prayer like, God, do what you want to do and bring. And I'm like, he's like this tall. I'm like, yes. See, he believes it. He understands that this is the kind of prayer. There's a reason that Jesus said we need to have childlike faith. Because it's almost as if God has supernatural power to perform miracles, right? It's almost like he does. Of course, we believe that he does, and we want to see it. So Jesus shows up in Simon Peter's story at a time that kind of seemed like a bad season, a bad chapter, like, let's skip to the next chapter, God. But he shows up, and he drops a huge miracle on him. And in so doing, I believe he demonstrates not only the power of God, but he demonstrates something important in what he says to Simon Peter. See, Jesus shows up and he's trying to communicate to them that what he's interested most is not great church services. Although I believe we honor God when we gather together and worship and fellowship and hear teaching. What he was demonstrating to them is that he's not most interested in our gifts or our service to him, right? Jesus didn't take an offering from Simon Peter. He didn't ask him to give anything. What we see is that Jesus isn't even most interested in seeing miracles and demonstrating his power, although we see God do that and we've seen him do it since then. But what he demonstrates, what he communicates to Simon and these other disciples that are there, is that he's most interested in seeing people come to faith. He's most interested in seeing people get in the boat and set out into those deep places. And what he says at the end is most telling. He says, follow me. See, we can have an encounter with God, and that's a great thing. That's a thing that we tell a story about. But what Jesus says at the end, he says, this isn't the end, follow me. This isn't the end, follow me. And some of us, we've had an encounter with God. We've had maybe at camp or maybe at church, maybe on Easter or Christmas service. We raised our hand, we said the prayer, we went up front, we had the moment. But Jesus' invitation is not, that was cool, wasn't it? You're done for life. Checked it off your box. He says, follow me. And that's the invitation of Jesus Christ to each one of us. He says, follow me. See, the Bible records this moment in time in Matthew's gospel as well. And Matthew records this. He demonstrates this truth. Matthew 4:19, it says this. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and they followed him. See, Jesus, after doing this cool miracle, I mean, by the way, it's really cool to see stuff like that happen, don't you think? Didn't you guys get stoked when you hear that? That's why we love to hear your praise reports. Like, we're like, yay, God, look what God did. And it's not our prayers, it's the power of God at work. And we get to celebrate with that. But I love it. But what does Jesus not say? He doesn't say, hey, Simon, pull out your phone and Instagram all these pictures of those fish, right? It's going to be a really cool moment, right? He doesn't say, go on Facebook and share it with 12 of your friends, right? He doesn't say any of those things. He doesn't even say, hey, that was really cool, huh? All right, we're going to take our offering now, right? He doesn't say any of those things. He says what? He says, follow me. Follow me is his message. See, not only does he say follow me, but he gives them this idea that he has a new purpose for their being. Did you catch what he said? See, these were fishermen. And he says to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'm going to add some purpose to what you're doing. See, Jesus was saying, in essence, I've got a purpose and a plan for your life that is so much better than the one you might have imagined. And I want to help you to discover that purpose. The pathway to discovering that purpose is to follow me. It's to walk with me. It's to walk in my ways. And here's the truth. Jesus is still calling, and his message is simple. Follow me. Follow me. And this morning, that message is for you. It's for me. It's a reminder for every one of us that know, and it's an invitation for those who don't know. Jesus' invitation is follow me. For some of you today, Jesus is inviting you to get into the boat for the first time. To get into the boat. And that might be that you might experience his power, that you might have a new level of faith to be a beginning point in your journey of faith, that you would mark this day as a checkpoint as you follow God. But for others of us, this is a reminder to follow Jesus, that this is not an invitation just to raise our hand once or just to go to a service or just to do one thing and check it off our box, but a daily reminder that Jesus wants us to follow him. See, Jesus brings meaning and purpose to our meaningless and purposeless lives. And he wants to bring that in our lives. And his invitation to these men is simple. He says, come and follow me, and I'll provide new meaning to the context that you currently live in. See, we've made life about our earthly context, right? Life's about waking up and going to work and doing the things we do and parenting or whatever it is that's on your plate. We make our lives about those contexts. And Jesus says, I want to bring purpose to those things. I want to bring meaning to those things. Now, these men were fishermen, and for them, God was calling them to become apostles and to radically change their lives and to do something different with their lives. But we don't need to be apostles to find deeper meaning from Jesus as we follow him. See, Jesus wants to bring purpose to whatever it is he's made us to do. It's one of the things we do in our Next Steps growth track. We want to help you to discover your purpose. Not my purpose, not the person next to you's purpose, but your purpose. What's God made you to do? Because whatever it is, God wants you to be filled with purpose as you teach as a teacher, or as you fill out the forms as a CPA, or as you help people as a doctor or some other profession. God wants to bring purpose to those things that he's created you to do. Jesus wants you to discover that purpose that he's created you for. That whatever you do, you'll be doing something rich and deep with meaning. That's why Jesus says to them, I'm going to make you fishers of men. You've been fishing for stinky fish. You're going to fish for stinky men, right? You're going to go do a different thing. I've got purpose for your life. And for some of you here today, perhaps for the very first time, Jesus is inviting you to get into the boat. To get into the boat. The Bible tells us really that what we intrinsically know, and I love that so often the Bible reminds us of things that we already know. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's not a great shock to many of us, right? We all know that we've messed up. We make mistakes, every single one of us. We know that we're imperfect, but we love to make excuses, don't we? Right? We love to make excuses about, well, I'm imperfect, but you know what? You don't know the extenuating circumstances, and I was really tired, and I had a long day at work, right? But when someone else does it, it's, man, execute them, right? My wife actually reminded me of this truth last night at about midnight when the music was still playing from our neighbor's party, and I said, execute them. She said, grace to them. And I said, you're right. Grace to them. See, but we aren't judged by our standards, right? We don't get to be the judge of our own standards. We're judged on God's standards of righteousness. And the truth, and this is painful, that none of us deserve to be on the boat. That if it just was based on how good we were, none of us should be invited onto Jesus' boat, but he invites us on just the same. That if it weren't for Jesus, man, none of us would have it. None of us deserve to be on the boat. But Ephesians 2 says, but God. Say, but God. Say it again. Say, but God. But God being rich in mercy. because of the great love in which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. For by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. See, friends, none of us deserve to be on the boat with Jesus. Not me, not the person next to you, not the person across the room from you. None of us deserve to be on the boat. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that's the message of the cross, that Jesus died on the cross in my place for my sins. He died on the cross for your place, for your sins. And we receive it simply by faith. And Jesus' invitation is, get on the boat. Get on the boat with me. Allow me to change your life. But for others of us today, perhaps you're already on the boat. I prayed this prayer over our worship team and others that were serving this morning, because we're already on the boat, but we still need to be reminded of this truth. See, Jesus' invitation is no different, but his invitation is, would you keep following me? Would you follow me? That's not a, I'm done with it. I checked that follow Jesus off my list. It's a beginning, a middle, and an end in this process of faith. And Jesus is inviting us to go deep, to exit the shallow waters of faith and trust him completely. Now, that's going to be different for each and every one of us. I don't know how long you've been following Jesus, but following Jesus is not a one-time decision. It's something that, it's not just something we decide once and it's one and done and there we go, we're good to go. Because Jesus' invitation is, follow me. He wants to keep changing us. He wants to keep equipping us. He wants to keep healing our brokenness. He wants to keep transforming us day by day and moment by moment. In fact, this is one of the reasons that I'm personally right now inviting you to join us next weekend as we gather. Because this is not a one-time deal. This is not a check it off the box. Something that we need to keep growing. That we need to find a community of believers that we can be known by and know so that we can walk together, as Rebecca shared about our community groups. That's why it's so important to do that. But for some of us, we're really comfortable in the shallow water, right? You ever go to the water park and see those people that are like, you know, ankle deep, and they're like, they're just cool with that. And some of us are really comfortable there because it's comfortable, it's safe. But Jesus invites us out to the deep water, the places where we cannot stand on our own, where we need his boat to stay afloat. And this morning, I want to just encourage you. It takes a step of faith to get on the boat. It takes another step of faith to set out to those deep places. But that's the place where we get to see God's power at work. It takes a step of faith each and every day to wake up and begin our day by putting our trust in Jesus and end our day by continuing to trust in him. It takes steps of faith. And on this Easter morning, I want to just encourage you. Jesus is alive. He is. He's still alive, and his invitation stands for you. His invitation. And this morning, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords invites you. He says, follow me. Get on the boat. Let's set out into those deep places. And for some of you, the invitation is just that. Get on the boat. Today may be the day that you begin a relationship with him for the first time, or perhaps after a long season of being away from God, you're going to come home to him. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm gonna pray a prayer, and I want to encourage you to say yes, to lift your hand, to respond to the Lord Jesus. But for others of us who have put our hope and trust in Jesus, as we come to celebrate this day, the victory that Jesus accomplished on that first Easter, today his invitation to you is to keep following me. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't allow yourself to get tired and weary. He wants to ease your burden. He wants you to keep following him. And I want to challenge you to step out into the deep waters with Jesus this day, this week, this year, to step out in faith and keep moving forward. Don't just take one step of faith and stop, but keep taking steps of faith. Keep trusting in him. See, Jesus' invitation is simple. He says, follow me. Follow me. Will you follow Jesus this morning? Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we respond to the Lord in prayer? You know, this morning, as we celebrate the reason for Easter, that Jesus Christ overcame death, hell, and the grave, we remember that he was resurrected to new life, also that we could have newness of life as well. This morning, as we celebrate this great expectation that Jesus will someday come again to redeem and restore all things, perhaps the Holy Spirit of God was speaking to your heart this morning. And I believe he has in many of our lives. I believe that God has been inviting each one of us to take next steps of faith. For some within the sound of my voice, Jesus' invitation is the same as it was to Simon Peter. He's saying to you this morning, follow me. And I will give you the hope of eternal life, but I'll also add purpose and meaning to your life now. Just a few minutes, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to that invitation, to say yes to Jesus, and I'm going to ask you to do that. But first, I want to speak to those of you who are already on the boat. For many of us, Jesus is not inviting us to go deep, to exit the shallow waters and follow him with all of our lives. Today is your day to dream again. Maybe you've tried to set out into the deep and failed. Maybe you've been scared and stopped and turned around. Whatever it is, Jesus' invitation, he says, I want you to set out to those deep places. If that's you today, you say, Jesus, today's the day I want to take my next step. I want to keep following you. Would you just reach out your hands in a posture of receiving? I want to pray a prayer of blessing over you. Father, we thank you for your word, which declares that though none of us deserve to be on the boat, though none of us deserve your grace, but God, you showed us grace when we didn't deserve it. So Lord, this morning I pray that you'd fill us up as we hold out our hands in a posture of receiving. We say, Lord, would you fill us up? Would you give us a new measure of faith to trust you in those things of our lives where we need to trust you and set out? And God, if there's places where we've gotten stuck, we've refused stubbornly to move forward, God, would you help us to have faith enough to take our next step, to reach out and to keep moving forward, to keep following you, Jesus. We thank you for your word. And finally, with every head bowed and eye closed in this place today, perhaps you're here and you've never experienced God's love and grace. You've never made Jesus your Lord. And Easter is our reminder that God has the power to give us eternal life because death and the grave could not hold Jesus. And today, I believe God wants to bring some of you to newness of life as well. Though we've talked about following Jesus and getting on the boat, maybe you've never done that. So with every head bowed and eye closed in this room, perhaps that's you and you're here within the sound of my voice and you've never begun a relationship with God. You might know a lot about him. You might have been to church before, but you've never surrendered your life to the care and control of God. You've never received his free gift of grace through Jesus, or perhaps you did ages ago and you've wandered away. If that's you, in just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand to agree with me in prayer. I'm not going to call you down front. This is between you and God. But the reason I ask is because Jesus said this. He says, everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I'll deny before my Father who's in heaven. So in a moment, with every head bowed, if that's you and you've never received God's grace, I want to agree with you in prayer. I want to just agree with you in that decision. That's you from the front of the room all the way back. Right now, would you lift up your hands? Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? You say, that's me today. I want to receive the free love of God. Thank you. Thank you. I see those eyes. God bless you. Church, can we repeat this prayer with those who may be praying it for the very first time? Repeat after me. Say, Father, I thank you for loving me.
I thank you for loving me.
Enough to send your son, Jesus.
Enough to send your son, Jesus.
To die in my place. For my sins.
For my sins.
I receive your free gift of grace.
I receive your free gift of grace.
And believe you paid the ultimate price.
I believe you paid the ultimate price.
You died so I could live. I acknowledge you today.
I acknowledge you today.
And believe you died for me.
I believe you died for me.
And rose from the grave. Defeating death and the grave.
Defeating death and the grave.
Thank you for loving me.
Thank
you for your gift of grace. Amen. Amen. Can we celebrate this morning? Thank you. We're going to sing with the worship song in a minute, but I just want to know if that was you and you responded today, we've got a yes packet out in the lobby. It gives you steps, next steps of faith for you. Would you stand with me? Let's sing. Celebrate.